Mics are live.
Well, good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:08 on Wednesday, February 6th. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present are Commissioners Julie Fedorchak and Randy Christman, so we do have a quorum. I'm going to keep my opening comments very brief because we have some ground to cover. Also, we have our budget hearing at 11 o'clock, so we're going to try and get as much as we can in, but there is a possibility that the meeting will either be interrupted or we will have a longer break than we would typically have before moving into the administrative portion of the meeting. So Commissioner Fedorchak.
I don't have any opening comments. Thank you.
Commissioner Christman.
I'll pass as well so we can get to our budget hearing.
Okay. All right. We have five items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Steve. First item for me on the regular agenda, I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Fuel Clause Adjustment Waiver Approval, case number PU-18-118.
Second.
On April 11, 2018, NSP requested approval to issue to customers through a one-time credit to the fuel clause adjustment, $128,000, of an overall North Dakota jurisdictional gain of $218,000 from an asset sale between NSP and Flint Hill Resources, Pine Bend LLC. At that time, NSP proposed to retain the remaining $90,000 to offset the foregone returns on the sold assets. On April 25th, 2018, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, and no response was received from that. And essentially, NSP entered into a fuel supply agreement negotiated with Flint Hills and an associated sale of three 10-million-gallon tank storage units and associated equipment, land, and fuel inventory, and that was sold to Flint Hills. NSP reports a total pre-tax gain from the transaction of approximately $4.2 million. The jurisdictional allocation for North Dakota is approximately 5.5% or $218,000. Again, NSP did propose to pass $128,000 along to customers and retain $90,000. Again, for the present value of foregone future return on the assets and fuel inventory through the end of its approved life. Having considered this matter, the Commission finds that customers should not be responsible for depreciation and return on investments for assets that have been sold and are no longer used and useful. Therefore, NSP's request to retain $90,000 should be denied, as indicated in the order. And the order itself, NSP shall credit the entire North Dakota allocated gain of approximately $218,000 to North Dakota customers through the fuel clause adjustment. And also, NSP is granted a waiver from its fuel clause adjustment tariff schedule to enable crediting of the gain to customers through the fuel cost adjustment on customers' bills. And this was a dual fuel facility, the Inver Hills generating plant. It would utilize both natural gas and then fuel oil. And the tanks that were sold were again sold to Flint Hills Resources. And now the backup fuel on site, that asset has been sold off, but NSP still has a contract to purchase on an as-needed basis fuel oil if and when that need should arise.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed by nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I have one more on the agenda. I move the commission adopt the order on settlement in Northern States Power Company, tax reform effects, electric utility rates, case number PU-18-155.
Second.
Okay, on January, this dates back to January 10th, 2018, and it's a part of case number PU-17-490, which was when the commission opened an investigation into the effects of federal tax reform, the Tax Cut and Jobs Bill Act of 2017, otherwise referred to as the TCJA. So this was a lengthy process in this particular case. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017 does impact NSP's cost of providing electric service, including a reduction in the income tax rate from 35% to 21%, the creation of plant excess deferred income taxes, EDIT, and the creation of non-plant unprotected EDIT. The net result of the TCJA impact is a decrease in the revenue requirement equal to approximately $9.6 million. The settlement agreement provides $9.763,000 in terms of a refund to NSP customers of record in 2018 within 90 days of approval of this order. And the reason for the higher amount would be interest that is factored in. The settlement agreement provides that in lieu of making additional TCJA-related refunds beyond 2018, NSP agrees to file or to a base rate moratorium in 2019 and 2020. Specifically, NSP agrees not to file another general rate increase prior to November 1st, 2020, with new rates not in effect prior to January 1st, 2021. So that would be the earliest that they could request a rate increase and the earliest as well that they could be placed into effect. Additionally, in its next general rate case, NSP's cost of service would reflect the cost savings of the TCJA. The settlement further provides NSP's existing renewable energy rider tariff schedule would be revised to allow recovery of future company-owned renewable energy resources for which NSP has received an advanced determination of prudence. And these go back to cases number PU-17-120 and PU-17-372. Also, the settlement establishes an earnings sharing mechanism during 2019 and 2020 base rate moratorium. And in effect, any over earnings beyond an allowed return on equity of 9.85%, which I will note is been reduced from 10.25%, would be returned to customers. The order itself is that the settlement agreement attached and made a part of this order is approved, and that NSP may file revisions to its renewable energy rider consistent with this order and the settlement agreement. Also, very important to note that the hearing scheduled for March 20th, 2019 is now canceled as a part of this order. And there are just a number of moving parts to this. NSP has indicated that they will be experiencing a revenue shortfall for North Dakota consumers of approximately $25 million before you factor into the Tax Cut and Jobs Act savings of approximately $9.6 million. So we're still looking at a $15 million revenue shortfall that the company could potentially experience. When we went through and we looked at this and staff worked on the numbers, using a factor of 50% in terms of what would be allowed through a rate case, it would still end up costing North Dakota ratepayers an additional $7.5 million per year if you looked at it from a 50% standpoint. If it were 60%, it would be more in terms of revenue requirement from North Dakota ratepayers. If it was less, of course, then that number would change as well. So a lot of moving parts. This is a very good deal, I believe, for North Dakota consumers because it holds rates constant. The company was looking at a potential rate case to present to the commission. Interim rates would have immediately gone into effect as a result of that as we work through the numbers, and rates would have gone up. So the customers will get a refund for 2018 of approximately, and I'm going to look over at you, Jerry, is it $46, if I remember right? Okay, $46 in terms of a credit for 2018 will be issued to an average residential customer. And again, rates are frozen in 2019 and 2020, which again, based on calculations, is a very good thing for North Dakota consumers. And any over earnings beyond 9.85% in terms of return on equity would have to be given back to the ratepayers as well. So I support this. I think it's a very good settlement. And in the reality is, as much as I would like to say things can go down over the course of time, they don't. The reality is inflation pushes things up over the course of time, and that has to be accounted for in order for the company to hit its return on equity and desired target.
Is there any further discussion?
Well, I have potentially two things, but the second one will hinge on the answer to the first one. There's a redlined version here. I didn't have adequate time to look at it. I think like we all have been wanting to get these settlements finished up, and so I'm anxious to do that. But I either need time to better understand the redlined version, or somebody's got to answer my questions now. So I guess that's your choice as a portfolio holder, if you want to discuss that, or just delay the agenda item.
Do you have the redlined version, Brian? All
right. Just yeah, let me take a quick look. Oh, it was just to clean up. Actually, it's to tighten up one paragraph in the discussion portion of the order, and tightening that up is we had as mentioned. In the renewable energy rider, we had two cases in front of the commission. One was 17-120, and the other was 17-372. That was the total, or those were the two that then in total were associated with the 1,850 megawatts of wind projects that NSP is already constructing, and those are already underway. So the renewable energy rider, as both a part of the settlement and the fact that they did receive an advanced determination of prudence from the commission, it just simply means that they're now allowable, and the language was just tightened up, frankly, because I thought it was a little bit cleaner just to make two tweaks.
Well, I'm trying to understand why the change at the end. My understanding of the tariff as it exists before this settlement would change it, but because there wasn't time, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not sure I'm right. But my understanding is that the current tariff allows recovery of projects that are granted ADPs if they're in the state. And what the settlement is doing is changing that tariff to allow recovery of projects, allow recovery of projects that are out of state if they've received an ADP, which is fine. The commission granted the ADPs, and so I don't object to the change, but to the changing of the tariff, but to exclude the language of outside of North Dakota, that is the part of the tariff that I believe we're changing. So it seems to me it ought to remain in the discussion item so that the order clarifies what we're doing.
Well, I think there are a couple of ways of looking at it. One of my concerns, and I'm glad you brought it up, one of my concerns is how we explain this and the decisions that we make to the public. And I think it's very, very important that the public realizes that when you're looking at a company like Northern States Power, many of their generating resources are not within our borders. In fact, I don't know which ones are off the top. I guess we've got Courtney, we've got Ashtabula Wind Farms. As a part of the 1,850-megawatt portfolio, Elite Clean Energy One in Foxtail, located on the ground. But then one of the things that through discussions I've had with people is they think that this is new, and it's not. On March 9th of 2016, the commission unanimously approved two ADPs, one for the Odell Wind Farm and one for Pleasant Valley. So this language, one, you know, do we want to exclude projects within the state? Foxtail, Elite, which have been granted ADPs. We've got others outside of the state, certainly not the first ones. The Sherco coal units, for example, would we have an order that states, you know, for coal-fired facilities located outside of our borders, which Sherco certainly would be, nuclear. So when I looked at it, I thought, well, it doesn't seem consistent because the vast majority of the resources and the electrons, the electricity that NSP customers in North Dakota use is already coming across the border in various forms. So I just thought it was a more open and less confusing way, frankly, of explaining it.
Again, I don't object to changing the tariff to reflect what we're doing. But the language in here that, to me, explains what we're changing in the tariff is changing the fact that the tariff will say that these out-of-state ones are treated like the in-state ones. And so to take out that language, then I think the explanation is less clear of what we're changing in the tariff than it was before.
Yeah, but the ADPs aren't, maybe this will help. The ADPs aren't, and this, it says four ADPs that have been, that are approved by the commission. So if an ADP for an in-state or out-of-state facility is not approved by the commission, then they won't be eligible for rate recovery in that respect. So I didn't see, I really couldn't conclude personally what the point was in identifying whether a resource is in-state or out-of-state unless we start applying that same mechanism, because the order clearly states that this is just for projects that have received advanced determination of prudence from the commission, which 17120 and I don't have it.
372.
Well, the two mentioned.
372.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a small change, frankly.
It is, but it's a change to me. The change makes it less clear. And again, because of the timing of it, there's not time to go back and read the tariff to clarify exactly what it is we're changing. I'm just going from memory what's in the tariff that causes my objection to this. But this is an important order in all the other things it does besides that tariff change. So I'm going to vote for this, but I'm frustrated by this, and I may include it's not a dissenting opinion, but
concurring
opinion, and point out some frustration with this change.
Yeah, I'll do likewise to balance it out, so that sounds appropriate.
And Randy, just to further clarify and to make sure I'm understanding your point is that all projects that are located in North Dakota automatically have an advanced determination. They're determined to be prudent. So the ADP basically provides that same prudency determination for out-of-state projects. That's why it was specified located outside of North Dakota, because the in-state projects already have that. What's the term?
Assumption of prudence.
Assumption
so prudence. Close, but that's not quite what I'm saying. So, yes, the in-state ones have the assumption of prudence, but we still typically then do a determination. Mm-hmm. But we start with the premise that it's probably going right. to be prudent. And then we do a determination. What I'm saying that I think is the case in the tariff is that once we grant that ADP, they then qualify to be added to the renewable energy rider if they're in the state. But if they're not in the state, it still takes an action by us to allow the company to include them in the renewable energy rider. And as has been described, since we've been doing it, I'm okay with changing that. It just seems like this language to make it sound like I just think it was more accurate before the change.
Is there a mechanism for changing it back at this point?
You make a motion to amend the order.
I mean, I would entertain that kind of a motion just because it was so late, and I think the way it was written originally is kind of consistent with how we were all of the discussions that we've had over this. So if it means that a more comprehensive agreement on this matter, which is important, I think that's important.
If those five words were left in, I would feel like it much more reflects at least my memory of what that tariff currently says and how we're changing it.
So are you going to make that motion?
Well, it's Randy's issue, so I would second it.
I would move.
Second.
Okay, and you're moving just with those five words be put back in?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion? Sensing none. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion is approved. Back on the original motion, as amended.
So, if you recall, Mr. Chairman, I said I had 2 points, and depending on the first one. So, the second one is the overall point
You're
of all this.
Keeping track.
The overall point of this whole settlement, I think, is an extraordinary example of the detailed and fine work that this commission does and our staff has done and that you as the portfolio holder have done, of ramrodding us through it. We haven't been the fastest among the states on the TCGA stuff, but what I have learned about other states' actions on it, I think we have probably been the most thorough and effective for the consumers out there. And so I appreciate your leadership on that, and I appreciate staff's work on it, and the company has spent a lot of time on it and making sure we got things right, and I really feel good about this order.
Just to throw a few other comments in to staff, to the company, to my colleagues on this. This tax cut issue was basically like having rate cases for every single company we regulate. Mini rate cases with no filing fees, with no experts to add to help supplement the record, and no additional support for our staff to work through everything. And it's pretty complicated, especially this one that basically reviews the company's investments, their revenue shortfalls, and takes that in consideration with the revenue that the company has built into rates for the previous tax rate, and takes all of that and comes up with a settlement agreement like this that presents a pretty reasonable path forward. I had my suspicions on this approach of letting the company keep the revenue baked into its rates for 2019 and 20 that was originally intended for taxes. But after, several hearings with the company and a lot of discussions with my colleagues and with staff, I've concluded that I feel comfortable that the investments that the company is making, particularly in its nuclear fleet, which is hundreds of millions of dollars to extend the life of those really important, vital baseload resources, that it's this approach is warranted to allow them to provide the refund to customers for the 2018 tax year of $46 per customer, which amounts to $9.7 million that the company is returning, recognizing the reduced tax rates and then allowing them to keep those rates baked into their customer rates in 2019 and 20 to help offset some of the revenue shortfall that they are experiencing, and then having a rate moratorium for the next 2 years, a rate increase moratorium. And then if they over-earn, there's the mechanism to share with the customer, return the over-earnings to customers. And then we'll have to see where we're at in another couple of years and of investments that the company is making in its fleet and see where we're at. So I think this is a good balanced settlement that will hopefully serve customers well, serve the system well, allow them to continue making investments in reliability and safety, and allow us to get through the next couple of years of investment cycle and see where we're at without a huge jump moving forward after that to customers. That's the hope. So thank you to everyone for your hard work on this.
Is there any further discussion?
I would also echo a huge thank you to staff, and now we can wipe our brow and go a little sigh of relief for a little while. Until the next one comes up, but thank you very much.
On the original motion, as amended to add five words to the order, is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Motion approved.
All right, that concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Okay, keeping with the tradition of 11th hour changes. We have a slightly revised motion for JF1 that I will all go through here in a minute, and you can tell me if you're comfortable with the changes. I think they're pretty modest. But I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order issuing site certificate number 57 in Emmons Logan Wind LLC, Emmons Logan Wind Energy Center, Emmons Logan, citing application case number PU-18-280.
Second.
Before I go, I think I'll just, would you prefer I go straight to the changes before I go through kind of the makeup of the order?
If I may, is the change just the change in number 34?
There's some wording in number 34, and then on the page 9, the first item under the ordering provisions is an addition that basically just states that the Emmons Logan Wind shall construct and operate the facility in accordance with the Commission's finding of facts. So it just refers, makes it clear that what's stated in the findings of facts is what's expected of how the company is going to construct and operate the facility. It's a line that we have included in a lot of orders in the past. It just wasn't included in this order. And
in either of them? I thought that was correct. In the 281, but
It's been added to both, which is why the second one was changed as well.
I think I'm fine. I was going to balk at this. Change is so close to the end, but I think that seems fine, and I think this seems pretty clear on 34, so why don't you go ahead?
You're wore out, aren't you?
I'd like to get this one done, too.
I'm okay with it.
Okay, excellent. All right, so just to walk through this project in this order, the company filed this application with the commission last summer, And in October, after a give and take with the company, we deemed the applications complete, conditioned on a few additional studies that the company hadn't yet completed and filed with us, and stating that they had to have those 30 days prior to the hearing, which is standard. And then, so on December 7th, we had the consolidated public hearing and had great participation from the community for the almost the entire day, which is nearly unprecedented. So Emmons Logan Wind LLC is a Delaware limited liability company. It's wholly owned indirect subsidiary of Next Era Energy Resources, LLC. The project will consist of a wind energy conversion facility within a project area of approximately 28,000 acres of land. The project will consist of up to 123 turbines and have a nameplate capacity of up to 298.1 megawatts. Emmons Logan Wind expects to use both GE 2.5 megawatt and 1.7 megawatt wind turbine generators. The 2.5 megawatt turbines will have a 95-foot hub height and measure 485.5 feet from the base of the tower to the tip of the upright blade. And the 1.7 megawatt turbines will have a 262-foot hub height and measure 431.5 feet from the base of the tower to the tip of the upright blade. The wind turbines will have supervisory control and data acquisition, communications technology to allow control and monitoring of the wind facility. Both of those will be operated with remote supervision, allowing simultaneous control of the turbines. An aircraft detection lighting system will be installed in compliance with FAA requirements and North Dakota state law. The Emmons Logan Wind has executed a 25-year power purchase agreement with Great River Energy for the full output of the energy produced by the facility. And Emmons Logan Wind intends a December 2019 in-service date for the project. In terms of studies, Emmons Logan Wind coordinated with and received feedback from a number of federal and state agencies and entities, including the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Department of Commerce, National Telecommunications and Information Administration, and the FAA. On the state level, the North Dakota Geological Survey, North Dakota Department of Health, Game and Fish, Department of Trust Lands, State Water Commission, North Dakota Department of Transportation, and the State Historical Society, as well as the City of Linton Industrial Development Corporation. Agency consultations and comments are noted in the application, as well as exhibits and testimony presented at the hearing. No state or federal agency or local government entity has indicated that it opposes the project. The State Historic Preservation Office has provided a concurrence letter with the Commission indicating that there's been a good faith effort to identify and avoid impacts to significant sites. To that end, Emmons Logan Wind undertook an outreach and consultation with the Native American tribes to address potential cultural concerns and avoid potential impacts to resources of tribal or cultural significance. And really, in that regard, the company's process is quite a model for other companies working in advance proactively with the tribes to address any potential cultural resource impacts. They really made a significant effort in that regard. They also conducted a large amount of bird and bat and other wildlife surveys. There was no confirmed whooping crane sightings in this area, and the whooping cranes in this area is considered low likelihood. The studies demonstrate that no federally endangered, threatened, or candidate species were recorded, and no significant impacts to wildlife are anticipated. With respect to exclusion areas, the project will avoid impacts to all exclusion areas. Emmons Logan Wind conducted an acoustic analysis to assess whether sound levels from the project will exceed the Commission's maximum 50 decibels within 100 feet of inhabited residences or community buildings. Emmons Logan Wind committed to meet the Commission's sound level requirements at all inhabited residences and community buildings, and no other avoidance areas are located within the project area. They also conducted a shadow flicker analysis, and they based on the shadow flicker analysis, the potential shadow flicker levels are expected to be below the 30 hours per year at all non-participating residences and at all but seven participating landowner residences, and those seven participating landowners have executed written waivers for the shadow flicker impacts. The company has agreed to a large number of other mitigative efforts, in advance moved all of the sites off of native prairie and onto areas that were previously disturbed, and so the permanent impacts of native prairie are less than 1 acre of the project's proposed 86.7 acre permanent impact, and that was one of the most significant requests that was provided by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. So with that, I think it's worth noting that there was a significant amount of support from the community in this area. We asked a lot about economic impact. I think one of the local economic developers stated, I asked when was the last time a project of this size and potential in the community had occurred, and they said they couldn't remember a time when there was a project of this nature and that would have this much impact to the community. So the residences, the folks, the participating landowners, even the non-participating landowners, a lot of them spoke in favor of this project, and the company seems to have done its groundwork to address all the potential impacts and to mitigate them wherever possible, and so I think it's time to approve this order and let this project get rolling.
I'll just add a couple things, although you've pretty thoroughly went through it, but I'm not sure if you mentioned a couple things I was really pleased with the company on. I asked during the hearing for them, once the final turbine map was fixed, to tighten up their map and not be taking up literally tens of thousands of acres into a site plan that weren't necessary. And they did a really nice job of constraining their footprint here. Maybe there's some other development that can go on someday, and we just don't need to tie up more land than necessary. And I don't remember exactly how they phrased it, but their aircraft detection lighting system, it sounded like it's kind of closer to final approval than maybe we've heard elsewhere. And so I'm really anxious to see that and hopeful that that's going to be able to be used pretty much right away or very close to right away. And I think that's going to make a world of difference in people's acceptance of wind farms if those lights don't have to be blinking all night. And then I was just going to relate on a whole different matter, a run-in that other groups that I work with had with some projects that are, you know, hopefully needing to be done, and a dilemma they have with, the creature, I wouldn't even know one if I saw one. I don't remember if it's a threatened species or an endangered species, but it's one or the other, and now this project is on hold because there's the possibility that it could frequent that area. And so what's been done here with trying to lessen the amount of activity that we do on these native species of grasslands? I know it irritates some people that, you know, it's a private property rights, so I can do what I want with it, but the fact that these are large-scale projects that fall under the siting criteria, the Siting Act, makes them go beyond the private property part to also the social and public part of making these decisions. And what the company's done here, I think, is an important part of hopefully long-term, and even a 30,000 acre site might not be all that big of a deal. But cumulatively, I think we must be getting close to maybe 300,000 acres in wind farms in North Dakota already, and a lot more on the horizon. And when you think of that cumulatively, if everybody's going to cite these all out on what's left of our native species grasslands, it potentially is going to cause more things to get on threatened endangered species, which, you know, then isn't just a problem for ag producers. It's not just a problem for energy producers. As far as I'm concerned, once these creatures get on the threatened or endangered species list, it causes problems for basically all the people who either breathe or eat. And so to the extent we can avoid that, it's really good. So I think the company's done a lot of good work on this project, and I'm going to vote for it.
Any further discussion?
The one thing that struck me about the application, it was extremely thorough. I had asked why during the hearing why it was approximately 600 acres per turbine, and I was pleased to see that that went down substantially. Actually, more than half of the acreage was removed from the footprint, which personally I was happy to see, because we still, on a per acre or turbine or acres per turbine basis, North Dakota still is substantially above the average when I've gone through and looked at other states. And that's despite being the fourth least populated state in the union. So when you ask the question, well, how does Texas make wind development work on an 80 to 100 acre per turbine basis, and in North Dakota it's double, three times that, or more sometimes. So I'm glad that the company adjusted accordingly. But just the other thing that the strong community support from first responders to school officials to community leaders to citizens, there was very, very strong and robust support for the project. And they cited the fact that that region, that area, is predominantly agriculture. And when commodity prices are low, these easement payments not only help farmers that have turbines on their land, but it helps the local community. It helps expand the tax base. So they looked at it as an opportunity in an area where they don't have many coming along. And it will certainly help them in that respect. So it was mentioned by the other two commissioners. Just people stayed for the entirety of the hearing. It was a long hearing, but it was very positive overall in terms of acceptance of the project. And I, too, will be supporting it.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, I just want to add one more thing quickly, even though we're short of time. One of the things that I think has been important in bringing all the community together, a lot of the work that the company has done to get rid of detrimental effects, probably a lot of credit goes to Representative Brandenburg, who's joined us here today and has worked very hard on this project and works very hard in his district. So,
thank you to all three of you.
I will just add one more thing, Mr. Chairman. I know we're close to our time being up, but on the aircraft lighting detection system, the order states that it will be operational. So unless there's some unforeseen delay, I think that it should be starting with that in place. And we should be seeing those in place before December on several of the other air or wind generation facilities in North Dakota, because NextEra has received this approval for the system from the FAA. And I believe that the facilities out near Dickinson will be incorporating those in south of Bismarck or west of Bismarck in the first half of this year. Excellent. That's my hope. This is just incidentally, this North Dakota has currently 3,100 megawatts of installed operating wind generation facilities. This facility, once permitted, goes into the bank of those that are permitted and not constructed, although there's a power purchase agreement for this one. So I think it's pretty certain that it will be constructed. And then we have another 700 megawatts under application in Williams County, Burke County, and McLean counties, Ward and McLean counties, that we'll be having hearings on in the next few months. So the wind development continues very actively in North Dakota.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be really quick on my last order. Okay. I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, issuing corridor certificate number 208 and route permit number 218 in Emmons Logan Wind LLC, Emmons Logan Wind Energy Center, Emmons Logan Siting Application Case Number PU-18-281.
Second.
This is essentially the transmission line that will connect this facility to the grid. It's a 6.85-mile, 230-kilovolt electric transmission line and associated facilities in Emmons County, North Dakota. We had the public hearing on this in conjunction with the hearing on the wind generation facility, and it appeared that all of the proper work and studies have been concluded, and there wasn't any opposition or concerns outlined by the public on this. And I think that the order is ready for this one as well.
I believe, if memory serves, there was one resident that was within 500 feet that had signed a waiver, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion is approved.
Concludes my portfolio.
Mr. Chairman, do we have time to do one more? It would be like a three-minute one.
Commissioner Christman, we do.
No last-minute changes. I move the Commission approve bond release number one for surface coal mining permit number GRGR-0501 held by Leonardite Products, LLC for the Stony Creek Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 15.15 acres of industrial land located in the west half of Section 8, Township 154 North, Range 100 West, Williams County. The bond release amount is $111,257 and will become effective March 8th, 2019, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
On September 29th of 2017, Leonardite Products filed the application for final bond release number one to this surface coal mining permit, requesting release of all reclamation liabilities on 15.49 acres of industrial and commercial land at the Stony Creek Mine, which is located east of Williston. The bond release tract was subsequently revised to 15.15 acres. The tract consists of mined and partially backfilled pits, topsoil, subsoil, and overburden stockpiles. About 7 acres of the 15 were mined during the years 2006 to 2013, so just under half. Most of the remaining acreage is associated disturbance, but about 1.5 acres are completely undisturbed. The Williams County Commission approved changing the permit area zoning from agriculture to industrial, commercial, and residential at the surface owner's request in July of 2012. Post-mine land use for the permit was changed to industrial and commercial by the PSC in April of 2015. And the entire permit area now has an industrial and commercial post-mine land use and is owned by Ellis Olson, LLC. The Department of Health issued a permit to Will Chamley, who does business as Eco Park Landfill, LLC, in June of 2016 to develop mined pits in the bond release tract as an inert waste landfill. The Division of Waste Management will assume regulatory authority of the bond release tract on the effective date of bond release approval. Leonardite Products expects to submit successive final bond release applications, allowing for inert waste landfill expansion as mining progresses northward. The newspaper notice of application for bond release number one was published in the Williston Herald on February 28th, March 7th, March 14th, and March 21st of last year. Applicants submitted copies of the affidavit of publication and copies of notification letters to individuals, agencies, and government entities. No objections to the bond release application were received. The reclamation liability for Leonardite Products is currently covered by a collateral bond in the amount of just over $281,000 that's supported by a letter of credit from a Williston bank. Leonardite Products is requesting a reduction in the bond amount of $111,000, just a little more. An adequate amount of bond will remain following bond release approval to cover reclamation liability for the remaining permit acreage. The bond release will become effective on March 8th, 2019, unless a formal hearing is requested in these cases. After we make the approval, there has to be that 30 days for that. The Reclamation Division has completed a review of this bond release application and recommends its approval.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion carries.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
And our subcommittee is ready.
Okay, just two really quick announcements. We have a formal hearing for case number 18-351 and 18-351 and 18-352. That would be the Aurora Wind Project and also the transmission line associated with that project in Williams and Montreal County. That's on Monday, February 25th at 9 a.m. and at Nesset Consulting in Tioga. And also our next regular commission meeting is on Tuesday, February 26th at 10 a.m. And again, that is a Tuesday, not a Wednesday, February 26th, 10 a.m. We will now take a brief recess to take questions from the press, then a break. Followed by the administrative portion of the meeting. I would propose 11:45 as a time to reconvene, if that works for both of you.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I will be going down to the budget hearing, and I will leave it up to you two if you want to take questions from the press or go as well. This meeting is in recess.
Okay.